Today's reading is taken from Mark chapter 6, and it's on page 1008 in your Bibles and should also be on the screen. Jesus sends out the 12. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed with oil many people who were ill and healed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray before we think about those words together. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and today we particularly thank you literally for the Bibles that we have in this church, or maybe the ones that we brought with us from home, or the ones that we have at home, that we are free in this country to read your word, such a blessing to us. And so we want to use our freedom responsibly this morning to receive your word and grow in it. So would you bless us by your spirit so that we might open our eyes to hear what you want to say to us together this morning. Amen. It's so great, isn't it? But so easily taken for granted that we can just pick these Bibles up and read them, whether we're at home or here. And there are places where, were you to want to take your Bible anywhere, it would be smuggled. And we're so grateful, aren't we? Maybe we're not, actually, but that's perhaps the problem. We're not grateful enough that we can receive God's word and engage with it so freely. And that's what we want to do together for a few moments now. One of the things that's been particularly striking over the last 24 hours is just with the speed at which images appear on our TV screens and the speed at which news can be visually communicated around and about the place. And a lot of those visual things have been very difficult to see, but a lot of them have been also incredibly encouraging. Just think about how many different landmarks have decked the red, white and blue of the French flag in order to show their solidarity. Durham Cathedral, an absolutely amazing picture of that yesterday, and Tower Bridge and various other places as well. And it's a visual statement, isn't it, that we have solidarity and we're not standing for this and we're opposed to it and we're with the French people and indeed all those people who are suffering. One of the other images that you may have seen on the news is as the football fans left the stadium, having watched France against Germany, they went out singing the national anthem, obviously in fear of what they were going out to. But they went out singing together, and I think it's been really powerful that we've worshipped together this morning, and that actually in our singing, we've been making a statement. And thank you to Dave and his team for leading us, because those statements we've made in worship today, that our hope is found in nothing less than Jesus, and our God is greater, and he is the Lord. It's been so good to kind of say those words together this morning and declare them for the benefit of our own souls and each other and for the mission that we're called on. At the 9:30 service, where we sing more traditional hymns, the first line that we sang together was this: "We have a gospel to proclaim, good news for men in all the earth." What a great statement at the start of our worship today, that in the light of what's going on, we have a gospel to proclaim. He is the Lord. Our hope is found in him and nowhere else. And that gospel that we're called to proclaim, we see Jesus commissioning his disciples to proclaim it here. And we took a break last week from our adventures in Mark's gospel for remembrance, but we're picking back up with the story again this morning of what's happening. And perhaps you've sort of seen over the last few weeks that with each bit we've looked at, Mark is building up our picture of who Jesus is and what his ministry will be like. And we've seen his incredible authority over so many things just in the first six chapters of Mark. And then in chapter six, the disciples are sent out. I expect there are debates around the theological world about where in Scripture you can pinpoint the start of the church. And if you'd like to, maybe we could have a debate about that sometime. Others of you may just not really care. Whatever is fine. There's probably all kinds of different cases to argue for different bits of Scripture. I wonder if this is one of the places that one could argue this is the start of the church. because these 12 disciples have so far been invited to follow Jesus. And what that has looked like in the last few chapters is that they have literally followed him and they have seen what he's done and they've been present as he has healed and as he has taught and as he has driven out demons and as he's forgiven people and as they've seen the opposition grow. They've been present, watching, observing and learning. And now in chapter 6, Jesus says, now you go and participate in this ministry and extend it and share in it. I wonder if that's where church really starts, because that's what church really is. Church isn't about just watching from a distance. That's part of it, is that we follow and we learn and we're tutored by Jesus. But the church is a movement that goes. That's the DNA of the church, is that we go and we serve and we have a gospel to proclaim, the good news for the whole world. And here the disciples get their first go, if you like, at mission. And these were just 12 ordinary chaps who would have felt the same lump in their throat that I feel when I think about sharing my faith with Jesus, that would have had the same nervousness about what might happen if they dared to talk about Jesus or if they dared to pray for someone to be sick. All the same questions that I have, and maybe you have as well, that maybe sometimes wrap us up a bit from sharing the gospel. They would have had those questions too. I find that really reassuring, that these weren't superstars being sent out. This was the church starting to do what God had called the church to do. And so what I would like us to do is just look at this passage together and just really see what Jesus does with this bunch and then see what they do and then have a think about what we might do in response. So if you've got your Bibles open, it might be helpful to have your eyes on the text. It's, again, Mark chapter 6, starting halfway through verse 6. Well, it says that Jesus was going around from village to village, and then he called the 12 to himself. And that's the first place we're going to stop and just consider for a moment. Before we think about the disciples going and what they did, is that there is a calling that Jesus has already issued to them, but he issues it again here. He calls them to himself. Probably in this instance, it was a literal, guys, come over here, gather around. I want to talk to you. But that's where mission starts, and it's where our mission starts. And each of us here, just like these 12, are called to Jesus first and foremost. We're called to him. Relationally, to follow him, yes, to serve him, yes, to know him, to walk with him, to share our lives with him. And maybe this morning, what you need to do is put right that relationship with him. Maybe you've lost that connection. Maybe actually you're really busy trying to serve him, but you've forgotten that it starts with him. And today, maybe gently but really deliberately, he's saying to you, come to me, come back, share life with me. That's the best thing in the world. To know Jesus. And often we wander off from that and get sidetracked, but it's the best thing to know him. Maybe you don't know him today. Today you could start that journey. Ask someone to pray with you at the end of the service, if that's you, or as we worship again in a while, to invite him in. Respond to his invitation to you into that relationship. Renew and refresh that walk with him today, because that's the starting point of mission. We are called to him, lovingly, graciously called into that relationship. And then, having called them, he then sends them. And he sends them in twos. There's no lone hero. There's no go out and save the day all by yourself. Go in community. Go together. Go and use each other, your gifting and your resourcefulness. Go and be a blessing together to these communities that I'm sending you to. And here we have the first 12. And wherever the church actually starts in Scripture, these guys are for us the church. They're a representation of the church going out in community to bless communities. And they're called to do it together. And I don't know if we can talk about Christmas yet. Alex has got a Christmas jumper on, so I'm taking that as a yes. Some people are allowing Christmas to enter their households now. That's okay. But actually, Christmas is coming, and this is a great time to renew our sense of going together into the community to be a blessing. And I know our home groups this year are particularly thinking about how they can do that, how they can go and minister together. Maybe there's other ways in which little groups of us can go and make a difference to the people around us. That's the model Jesus started with. Go together, go in a team, go in a pair, and be a blessing. But just the very fact that they're sent would have changed for these disciples their whole perception of what they thought their life of following Jesus was about. Surely it couldn't just be literally follow him and watch all the time. I mean, they would have just become like stagnant pools, forever being filled up and no outlet for what they were doing. And here Jesus says, actually, now it's time to participate in the mission. Maybe you need to hear him say that to you today. Now it's time to start participating in the mission. I'm sending you out. I've got work for you to do. That's how much I honor you. I've got something for you to do. Go and do it with me and for me. And so he then sends. But he sends with instructions. He doesn't just say, just get out there and make it up as you go along. Actually, there's an instruction, a really clear instruction for the disciples here. And they're really weird. They're really strange instructions that Jesus gives to them. He says, don't take anything extra than you need. You can take sandals, but no extra shirts. Don't take any bread. Don't take any money. Don't take your wallet. Really quite strange instructions for people who are going on a journey. And then the things about stay in the first place that you're welcomed. Don't start shopping around for the best accommodation. Go somewhere and commit to it and stay. And if they don't like it, well, then you can go because you don't just want to annoy them. The point is that you're preaching a message to them. They might well reject it. He warns them. This isn't all going to go well. But keep it simple. And why does he say all of that? It seems to almost fly in the face of the way we think about mission, that we need to sort of build ourselves up, get ourselves as sorted as we can, and then we can go and tell people about Jesus. But he almost says the opposite. Reduce who you are. Make yourselves less in order that you go and share the gospel. I wonder if this is about the message getting cluttered and misconstrued and the waters being muddied by too many distractions. Don't go out and advertise yourself and how great your life has become. Go and speak about Jesus. Is there anything that we're taking with us in our mission that is cluttering the message, slightly distracting from the message? What do people see when they look at our lives? What do people hear when they hear us speak? Have we allowed things to drop so that our hands are open with the gospel and nothing else there? Is there any baggage that's weighing us down in our sharing of our faith? Anything that's compromising or confusing the gospel message? There's a simplicity that Jesus calls them to, and it was a costly simplicity. But he's saying, make yourself vulnerable to the people that you're going to go and share the gospel with. Make yourself vulnerable. Maybe as you think about Christmas, how can you make yourself vulnerable with the people that you want to share your faith with? It's a different way round of looking at it. Jeremiah 9 says this. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord, who is kind and just and righteous, declares the Lord. Don't take anything else with you that will confuse the message. The only thing we can boast about is the fact that we know God, and it's only because of him that we know him. That is what we share. We make ourselves vulnerable. We empty our hands. We make our lives simple, and we share the gospel. And on top of these direct instructions that Jesus gives, this is, of course, what he has modeled to us. As Christmas approaches, we'll be talking Emmanuel, God with us, the incarnation. Philippians 2 says of Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. God's way of mission was to make himself nothing. And here he seems to be calling his disciples to follow in that same spirit. Make yourself a servant. And Jesus has also modeled the ministry that he wants them to do. I wonder if we overcomplicate things too much in our thinking about what is God asking me to do. And I think we need to listen specifically to specific things God calls us to do. But in these first few chapters of Mark, we've seen Jesus preaching, we've seen him casting out demons, and we've seen him healing the sick. And I just love the line at the end of this passage that says, they came back having preached, driven out demons, and healed the sick. It's just a lovely mirroring of what Jesus did. They saw what Jesus did, and they went out and they did the same in his power, with his authority, not as heroes together, but they did it. This picture of the church together going and fulfilling the missionary task that Jesus called them to do. I think that's really pertinent today as we're thinking about France and all that's been in the news, and Islamic State and Iraq and Syria and Kenya and Lebanon and all those war-torn places, that here we see the disciples had three priorities that they'd seen in Jesus and they took out to the world. And we just get it in that last little verse, verses 12 and 13. They went out and they preached that people should repent. They went out and said, there's another way to live. There's another option available. And it's about turning away from all that is evil and turning to Jesus and following him. They said, the life that you're living, you do not have to live it like that way. There is another option. They went out and preached, repent. Life can be different. They went out and they drove out demons and evil spirits. They went out and they confronted and stood up against evil. How pertinent is that this morning? And we didn't engineer this passage to reflect the news. It's what's in the program. But actually, go out, preach something different, confront evil, and then finally they healed. They took healing and wholeness to broken communities and a broken world. And as we look at the news, we could be tempted to buy into the narrative that religion is awful and religion is to blame. And that may almost reduce our confidence and make us think we've got nothing to say into this apart from sort of hope for the best and pray quietly. But we have a gospel to proclaim, and it's good news, and it's good news for the whole earth. Life can be different. You can live differently to confront evil, to bring healing and wholeness. There's three pretty good prayers for the world today, I suggest. And they come right from the heart of God, right from the calling of Jesus. And I'm so thankful that these disciples said yes to that commission. They could have said no, and the following pages would have looked very different. But they said yes, and they went. They felt convicted to go. And the calling is exactly the same for us today. To be with Jesus, to learn from him, to go and do the things he calls us to do in his power, in the Spirit. Here it says he gave them his authority. We are now in the place where he breathes his Spirit on us and into us. And so we're going to worship a little more together, and let's use this time to invite the Spirit, not just for a feel-good factor, but to be empowered. Paul prayed earlier that God might send the fire on the church. That's a risky prayer, isn't it? But I think that's what we need to pray. That we'd be so captivated, so driven, so convicted that he is our hope, nothing else. And we take that out to the world. And we take it in what we say and what we do, in the care we show to people, in the love we show. So I'd like to invite us to stand together. Let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord, kind, just, and righteous. Lord God, today that's what we want to know, and that's what we long to see in our world and in our own lives. Kindness, justice, righteousness. Your word reminds us that they come from you. They're your heart. They're your plan for the earth. And so we want to participate, just like those nervous first 12, in your mission. Thank you that over these weeks we've looked into the gospel and seen what you do, seen what you're about, seen what your values are. And Lord, thank you that we are free to serve you here. It feels like a responsibility to use our freedom for the sake of our brothers and sisters around the world who would love to, but can't. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come and you would renew our walk with you, renew our commitment to you. Empower us for mission. Put things on our hearts and in our minds that we can do, even today, for you, to participate in that mission. Forgive us for our laziness. Forgive us for our taking for granted of our freedom. Forgive us for not caring enough. And it's by your Spirit that we look for change and transformation in our own hearts. So we turn from the wrong things and we turn again to you. We choose today to stand against evil. We choose today to be people who bring peace and healing and wholeness. Fill us up, Lord. Send us out. The power of your Spirit and the power of your name. Come and fill us, we pray.